It's time for today's episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast, recorded in front of a slightly tipsy studio audience at world-famous Champions Fried Chicken. We will have the latest on Georgia Bulldogs football, basketball, and recruiting. Watch live and send us your questions on the 11 Alive Sports page on Facebook. Be advised, this podcast is off the record and not safe for work. Also, be sure to subscribe to the UGA Sports Live Podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
Hey everybody, welcome to the UGA Sports Live Podcast. My name is Roddy DeBulsey. I will be your host. I'm joined by Jake Roos, the recruiting, we need a new title for him this week. Recruiting dude.
Admiral. How about that?
The recruiting admiral. Admiral dude at UGASports.com. And then, of course, joined by former Georgia head coach Jim Donnan, the brains behind the good looks over here on this end. You know, we got him. He's going to keep everything straight and talk to us about it. We are live from Champions on Baxter Street. If you get a chance, go by the Athens Banner-Herald Reader's Choice Awards and vote for them for the best fried chicken. They've won that title numerous times. Well-deserved.
Three times in a row, right, Josh? Yeah. Going for number four.
Should be a sweep.
Yeah. And so swing by there. Get those guys. Give them your votes. They deserve it. You can also vote for Athens Ford, who's also a big sponsor of our show. You can if you go out there and you get one of these nice Raptors. They're not exactly the cheapest truck out there, but it's the best-looking truck you'll ever find and one of the best you'll ever drive. So swing by Athens Ford and the Athens Banner-Herald and vote for them as well, because you're not going to have a better experience buying a vehicle. You can also vote for Europie, the best pizza you can get. Right now, up to 58 different locations. Wow. 10 of which they've opened since they started sponsoring the show, which shows how good sponsoring their show is. I'm going to take all of Drew's credit. The first 48 were luck. The next 10 were based on because he sponsored the show. And, of course, Academia, big sponsor show. You can vote for them for best new restaurant. They've already won that once. You can vote for them again to win it, because if you go out there and try their food, you're going to think this is the best new restaurant I've been to. So swing up by Academia. It's out by the mall. You'll see their nice truck out there. So swing by Academia and get them. You can't vote for 365 Game Day, but you can buy your gear there. So swing by 365 Game Day. We're gonna share this podcast on their site in just a minute. And, of course, Cable East. I noticed when I was coming down Lumpkin Street, there's somebody's putting in cables underneath the sidewalk, you know, for all the high-speed stuff they need at UGA. I'm not sure the Cable East is doing that, but they likely are.
They need to.
And last but not least, I want to give a big shout out to 11 Alive. We're on the 11 Alive page. If you get a chance, give them a big like. If it's not, if it weren't for 11 Alive, we wouldn't be doing this. So I should probably mention them first, but that's a great show.
Hey, I guarantee you made the order today if we got tamales, right?
Well, you know, I may have put in a request or two or six or 100. So,
Mr. Tamale.
Yeah, got to get those.
Yeah, let's scoot those up here a little
show
bit.
Show those folks the tamales.
That beautiful tamale footage.
Yeah, exactly. If you're not if you're listening to the podcast, you're not watching the show, we've had a plate of Champy's delicious tamales come out there. Jake is a tamale snob, and even he eats them. So
I think they're the best in town, to be honest with you.
So it's great.
They are phenomenal. And I know I say this, but if you get a chance, come in, get the six. You can probably only eat about three or so. Take the others home and have them with eggs the next day. One of my favorite meals. Anyway, we got a lot to talk about in the show, and we'll touch on our sponsors later. But
I do want to say, make sure, please, that you send in some questions today. Yeah. We will definitely get to as many as we can. We've got stuff to talk about, but it always goes a lot smoother
that's
when
the whole
you send your stuff.
That's the whole point of the show for me is really to answer questions. I mean, we can sit up here and just BS for an hour easily, but
we do.
To me, the whole point of having the podcast like this and having Jim Donnan on the show is to answer your questions. So if you have anything you want to talk about, be it recruiting, the team, the other team's schedule, heck, you can get him on. Ask him about politics. He'll answer that too. Politics and religion,
especially the guys online that are critical that find something wrong with the show. Tell us what you think we should do to
what we
with
should
your
say.
Question. No, yeah. Hey, give us a question that you know is salient to what you really would like to hear, so we're not taking away from your valuable time since you're so. But you know, hey, we can take criticism, but hey,
I can't.
Tell us what you want.
I get it.
All right, here we go.
I think the first and foremost thing we need to talk about is the fact that I think last week we were mentioning Georgia was down one recruit in the signing class with Tramell Walther being announced going to Hutchinson.
Yep.
this week. We mentioned it last week that there were two guys that were still out, James Cook and Nadab Joseph. James Cook, the five-star running back that you know, no one ever hardly talks about. And then Nadab Joseph, the safety out of Miami. I'm assuming safety, right?
Yeah, it looked like that's where he was going to project. Yeah. I mean, we had him listed at cornerback.
Good player, though. He was really good.
Possibly a guy who could have even slotted in maybe at that starter position.
Okay, so but Nadab Joseph, big guy who was formerly committed to Alabama. Georgia signs him. But then he did not qualify. Now, we mentioned on the show last week that there's a likelihood, and we didn't really go into how deep, but we were hearing that was not looking good. We were also hearing that, you know, there was a chance, and Trent Smallwood said, you know, hey, I think he's going to be able to pull it off. It just didn't happen, and we found out, well, yesterday you confirmed it, that he's going where?
He's going to Independence Community College. He'll be there for 18 months, according to the coach there. So it's not necessarily set that he's going to be playing there for 2 years, but he does have 18 months. Now, what that tells you is that it's a different situation from Walthour or Wyatt.
Yeah, here's the point that we could clarify. You know, a non-qualifier in the case of somebody not meeting the requirements of the NCAA, not necessarily UGA, but the NCAA, you know, you have to go and put in the hours at a JUCO to be eligible to come to a university. Whereas a guy like Wyatt last year was a qualifier, but he didn't get in time, so he went there and then he was able to come here and start the next year, you know, as a UGA guy without having to fulfill the 2 years. And the one thing that makes it tougher, as good as it is to have all these guys coming in early, Roddy. In the old days, news like this, we wouldn't even know about until August, you know, when everybody reported. Right. Because over the years, we have always had a lot of guys that had to qualify to the last second, you know, or make the test, take the last test maybe in July to make the test score. But the NCAA has a clearinghouse, what they call, that's the name of it, that everybody has to go through that to make sure that you meet the NCAA standards. That, you know, so you apply to the school, but you also got to go through the clearinghouse and get certified that you meet the NCAA. So they're going to look at your transcript, look at your test scores, and then they're going to certify you. So in the case of Joseph, you know, he didn't have enough hours that certified him to be able to get through the clearinghouse. And in the case of Cook, I'm not going to be too declarative here, but he's in a situation where he's just finishing up to get the number of hours. He's certainly got the grade point average and all that, so he's got to finish up a course. And a lot of times these courses aren't finished till mid June or July, so he'll be here. It's always a little bit of a, you know, consternation, worried about somebody that's not here compared to everybody else. But I would say, what's the name of this place? Champions? Well, what's Cook's chance of being eligible? Hey, the same thing. That's a no-brainer. I think he'll be okay.
I think that, too, it bears explaining, I think, a little bit. How does this happen to a kid? How does a kid make it through 4 years of high school and not come out with enough credits? Well, in the case of Nadab Joseph, you've got a kid who transferred high schools a lot. You know, I think that he's probably
– more than two?
Yeah, more than two. I believe –
did he finish in Norland?
He did finish in Norland, yeah. But I think he kind of played all around that Dade County area. It's a situation that people might be familiar with if you think about last year with Robert Beal.
Exactly.
He was very close to that because he went from Norcross to IMG, then back to Peachtree Ridge. I know that sounds like it should all make sense, and what could be different from high school to high school? Everybody's different from district to district. They're teaching different things, and they've got these things that line up, so your credits you just
core
don't
courses,
know.
And that's where the clearinghouse helps out.
Exactly.
You made a good point there. I don't want to interrupt, but I think everybody just needs to understand that you got to have a national system that, you know, some people have some catfish courses that don't really register on the national scale. And I don't know that they have those in Florida anymore, anywhere else. But it's a very definitive situation. And sometimes guys come out in the ninth and tenth grade and don't do very well, and they got to catch up. And, you know, sometimes you can and sometimes you can't. But it certainly hurts us. But, you know, we're in the market maybe for a graduate student, maybe like we got Smith that 1 year. I mean, we might need some help there at safety, depending on what's going to happen with Bishop's situation and with Gibbs. We don't know, you know, two tenuous situations there. So, but let's get on with some questions. That's enough about that.
Well, I think we want to talk a little bit about Gibbs.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about guys who are, I don't say in limbo, but they're not exactly, they're not, like you said, they're not here yet. Like with James Cook, you know, he's got one class left and you shouldn't be worried about it, but, you know, again, it's still something to be done. What if he bombs that class? What if he has an issue? You know, it always makes you nervous until they're on campus.
And I was going to say, too, I think that it needs to be pointed out, you're probably going to be seeing a lot more of this because guys are transferring high schools all the time. I mean, right. that's becoming the new norm within high school football. So this is not the last you'll see of a situation like this.
Well, it's been going on more and more. Plus, to Coach's point, you have the core classes, you know, the NCAA Clearinghouse, and for any of you guys that are watching this that are the parents of prospective student-athletes, or if you are a student-athlete yourself and you're in high school, go ahead and register with the Clearinghouse. You need to get registered early. Don't wait till the last second.
And you can go online, add to that, and they'll tell you what's needed. Say a kid's going into ninth grade, these courses are needed to pass the Clearinghouse.
Right.
You can look at that right away, even though your counselor's telling you. A lot of counselors – you know, aren't familiar with that Clearinghouse.
No.
But go ahead and say what you're going to say about Gibbs.
And the numbers have changed. You know, you have to have a higher GPA than you did before in your core classes. So you have to have your four Englishes, you know, your three maths, your two sciences, your whatever they have on that list. What we're seeing a lot of now are guys who bombed as a ninth grader, as a 10th grader, who are now trying to catch up. Like you said, Coach, they're doing an online class. Now, not all of these online classes are accredited the same.
And exactly.
When your high school counselor, as you said, tells you that, this class will catch you up in English, and then it goes to the Clearinghouse, and the Clearinghouse says, no, that's the wrong online course, then you have an issue, and all of a sudden you have to remake that class. I'm not saying that's the case in, you know, for Cook, but so when there is a lot to it with the grades, and of course, you know, we hear some of it. We don't have the exact facts. Same going on with D'Angelo Gibbs. We were told that he was no longer with the team. Then we saw that he wasn't enrolled in spring. That made sense. Then we enrolled in summer school or Maymester. We're like, okay, but you know he still needs those credits to transfer. Now we're hearing that he's actually working out with the team, which is not unusual if you're in town. We see all these former NFL guys come back and work out over the summer with the team. You know, a lot of guys come in, they get a workout with the guys they played with or guys who, you know, if you've been in the NFL 5, 6, 7 years, you don't know any of the new guys, but you come back and you work out with them for a couple of days while you're in town. So seeing D'Angelo Gibbs working out with them was not, you know, unusual. But I think there may be more to it than that. And I'm kind of excited about the fact that if he can work it out. And Kirby said, look, he's not back with the team yet, you know. And the point being, Kirby left open the possibility of D'Angelo Gibbs rejoining the team.
Well,
and I think that is a big deal.
I think from Kirby's perspective as the head coach, you know, you got to protect the kid, you got to protect the program, and there's not a lot of things sometimes that you want to divulge when it becomes a disciplinary or an academic or whatever it might be situation. But certainly a player of this magnitude, highly recruited, that, you know, had a tough first semester, no question about it. But as much as we can say without divulging anything, which I don't have any inside scoop on this, but I do know that the fact that they're trying to, you know, give him an opportunity, which I think is great, that whatever his situation's in, you know, give him a chance to prove that he can deserve to be back on the team. And if he does, he's at least worked out with him and he's ready to go and he's met the standards. We've seen that a lot of times, guys come back and, you know, do what they're supposed to. I tell you, very competitive situation out there right now, the way these kids have to work out in the summer. I mean, and everybody's doing it around the country. It's just a different situation now. I mean, you got the chance to meet with the kids during the week, and they're really a lot further along when fall camp starts because of what they do these next couple months.
I also like the fact that even if he can't rejoin the team, he has to go somewhere else. He's still in shape. He's still been treated for
Absolutely.
Any of the injuries he has. The kid came to you in good faith. If he didn't live up to his end, and you could still help him out somewhat, that looks good for Georgia. And I'm not just saying it looks good. It's the right thing to do, in my opinion. I mean, again, you know the rules. You mess up, you get kicked off the team. That's on you. You know, I don't feel any sympathy. But if a kid needs help and you can help him out without again, without breaking rules, without hurting your program, with the possibility of helping your program, I love it. Now, I am determined, and I don't know that it'll ever change until I actually see D'Angelo Gibbs play for Georgia at the star or cornerback position. That he is a wide receiver through and through. I want him to be a wide receiver. I want him to play
for
Georgia.
Very good.
And I want someone to film his feet when he comes off the line, and he does a little dance.
And he's a chop.
And that secondary, you know, that cornerback's looking at him, is all confused, and he goes and gets wide open. So,
we'll
D'Angelo, if you're watching the show, get on track, get at Georgia, catch a touchdown pass, prove me right.
We got a question here from Brian Murphy that I think definitely it matters and comes to light with all of these attritions. Is it attrition? Who knows? Brian says, what do the losses of these kids to JUCO do for the scholarship numbers? That's an interesting question because they were right up against the line going into signing day. We were wondering how they were going to fit anybody else in.
Well, it goes into the initials. Just for everybody out there, you got 25 initials a year and the max of 85 on your squad. So you can't have 25 times four and have 100 guys on
right.
your team. So you're going to have attrition. You're going to have guys that become academically ineligible. You're going to have some guys like Chigbu maybe that might be getting a medical. We had another lineman get a medical. Which one was that?
The one.
Well, you had Sage Harden do it.
Sage.
2 years ago, and then you had another one.
This past year.
He's taking pictures now.
Mirko?
Yeah.
Mirko Jerkerman?
No, that was
No, that was a long time.
I thought Sage Harden was this year.
No, Sage. No, then there's another guy. I'm losing my mind.
Well, anyhow, we can figure that out. The thing that's important, though, these guys won't count in our initial if they don't enroll. So, Waldhauer and certainly Joseph won't count. We had 26 signed, didn't we, or something like that?
Yes, right? Yep.
So we can probably give an initial scholarship if we want to, but who are you going to have there? You know, maybe, like I said, a graduate student transfer in a secondary and maybe a JUCO quarterback at this point, somebody from an experience standpoint to come in here and help be a third quarterback. We got two walk-on guys that are doing a good job out there that we've heard about. So I think he's got a good question there. We've got some initial scholarships that we could give right now, and if we don't, then that will let us have more next year. Not we'll have 27. It'll be whatever our 85 totals up to minus the guys that leave. So I would say 18 or 19 at the most next year, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I can't see them going much deeper than that.
Right.
Ab Harding says, does this mean Georgia will sign some more grad transfers? Your thoughts? I mean, it's not an option they're going to take off the table. I think that they've proven
well,
that.
Well, it's hard to find a JUCO that readily like we did last year with the kid that came in here, Crompton,
yep.
that was a really great find because he could, you know, we thought we were going to need him to return punts, but, Miko and these other guys stepped up. So I think it's a case where there's a lot of guys around the country we could look to be a specific need, whether it be a safety or a corner. You know, we got two corners with knee injuries in Webb and certainly Wilson. You know, Devon Wilson both had knee injuries, right?
Correct.
So one of them's a little more severe than the other, so maybe a corner, but somebody in the secondary. And then, so if you add up those four, Webb, Wilson, the situation with Bishop up in the air, and also Gibbs, that's four secondary guys on scholarship that, you know, hopefully, you know, two of them are hurt and two of them are up in the air where, as far as – so what are we going to do? I could see us bringing in a graduate student to come in here and play in the secondary and then the same thing at quarterback. But the reason I say that is all these guys around the country that maybe are in a program that's not winning on the level that they want to or whatever it might be, then they got a chance to come to a program that can compete for the championship, go to big bowls, maybe play for everything, like the kid – Hayes coming in here from Notre Dame.
Yeah.
I mean, he meets a need for us now.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to tell you what now. If he walked in this door right now, you'd give him some champion's chicken.
I think he would take it from you.
Yeah, I don't know if we'd have to give it.
He looks a lot like Trent Thompson on the hoop. Maybe not quite as tall, but well put together and extremely mannered, good kid, just pleasant. You know, I think he's going to really fit in regardless – how much he helps us depth-wise and all that. He's a good kid. You can just see the way he acts, and he's a classy kid. I mean, you know, I have a little trouble understanding him from New York, you know, but he, nice kid.
He had a heck of a game against Georgia when Georgia was up there.
Exactly.
So a kid can come in and play like that.
A smart move by Kirby bringing him in, I thought, because we need some depth there in the D-line, and we brought in a kid – punter, but I don't know that he's on scholarship from Murray State. Is
no, I don't believe so.
Right. But I mean, to your point, getting to me, Cam, the punter last year, changed Georgia's fortunes. I was speaking to the Emerald Coast Bulldog Club this past Saturday, which is fantastic. Thanks, folks, for letting me come down there. It's in Panama City. We met out on the beach for like an hour and a half before we went over to Pompano Joe's and had a nice lunch, and we had a long Q&A. And I said, look, to me, the fortunes of this team getting back to the level that they were last year. I like Georgia's chances in the SEC East. I like their chances of in the SEC Championship game, you know, going toe-to-toe with just about anybody. But if you want to win those games that you did last year, a lot of it's going to come down to, is Jake Camarda, the guy coming in, going to be able to replace Cam at punter? You know, you need to have a strong punter. And right now, you get this other kid coming in as a transfer, which is great. But
just want to put some pressure on Long, though. I think that's, you know, you got three guys, but I don't think we're going to be punting that much.
Well, again, I predicted Georgia would be probably scoring 45 points a game. That offensive line is phenomenal. I said that word again. The line's great. Quarterback's great. Receivers are great. Got stellar tight ends. But I think, you know, you need that defensive-minded coach wants a good punter. And I think that if you got that grad – you got one more spot, you know, you look for one of those. Cam coming in from, like you said, a school that wasn't winning that much, and he gets to have that incredible year. And he's working out for the NFL team.
Jaguars.
Right? Yeah, they're working out for the Jaguars. Yeah, and Trent Fricks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's fantastic. Good luck to Fricks as well, the entire Fricks family. Point being, when you have another spot, right now Georgia is at, and by my calculations, they're at 83 scholarships with Tramell Walther going to Hutchinson and Nadab Joseph.
What about Chigbu? Is he not necessarily?
I have him on my list at 85. If he is officially out, if he hangs up his cleats, that would put Georgia at 82.
Now, someone did point out here, I do want to give him proper credit. Richard Chafin says Joseph will count against this year's class. That's a new NCAA rule.
That is a rule, yeah.
So that's,
I guess that's right, too. I forgot about that new rule. You know, if he doesn't predict, he counts.
If he doesn't qualify, it still counts as one of your initial counters. So.
Let's see.
But Walthour actually qualified, though, didn't he?
He did. He was fully qualified. That's why, as opposed to Joseph, he'll be able to return probably in January. Right. He's just got to go do the one semester.
Which here's the thing that kind of bugs me. If you know that Nadab Joseph was going to go JUCO, you know, was not going to qualify, why is Tramell Walthour going out there?
I'll be honest with you. Somebody asked that yesterday on the vault, and I said, in my personal opinion, that tells me what they thought about Joseph's ability, that they were willing to roll the dice and take a kid and say, hey, you know, we'll go all in with you and just hope that you make it, as opposed to taking the qualifier. I get it.
I know. I'm not happy with this whole Tramell Walthour thing. I thought that was handled very poorly.
I'm not going to argue that with you. Let's see. We've got Joe Melee says, will Zamir be ready game one? We talked about
that
last week.
Let's give a shout-out to the Don that's coming in today. That was good to
see
him.
Yeah, absolutely. We got the Don and Clan in
three
here.
Three deep. We're in the three deep Don.
not a golfing threesome I'd want to be facing.
No. Those two would be good.
Let's see. What are our chances? Ab Harding says, what are our chances at landing a third-string quarterback?
Well, let's go back to the Zamir White question first.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was just going to say, we talked a lot about that last week, and the conclusion we sort of reached was we expect he'll be ready. I think that he's probably not that far off.
Who was asking that? What did they say?
Joe Melly.
I was waving goodbye. Give me the question here, because I just talked
to Zamir White.
I just talked to Coach McGee this morning, for this.
Oh, will Zamir White be ready game one?
No, I mean, I went out to camp today to see some kids and everything, and I try to go around and just – shoot the breeze with everybody, and you know what's impressive to me about the camp is beside the organization and all the kids there, the number of underclassmen that are there that are really getting their first look. I'm talking about 2021, 2022 kids that look good. And old Coach McGee was strutting this one kid around that's a 2022 defensive lineman. I mean, and he's wow. from Florida, and he introduced me to him and everything. I said, hey, while we're at it, I said, how's White looking? He said, he's looking great, Coach. He's ready to go. So that's right from the old coach there.
There you go.
Wow, there's your some scoop. That's why you pay attention to this show, and that's why you tune in.
No, I'm not trying to drop anything, but I was ready for that. But I do feel good about that part.
No, we mentioned that last
from
week.
From an old coach being out there to see the way we're projecting everybody, because as we've talked about before, you know, the first time when the kid comes to a camp and everything, boy, that can be very impressive, you know. And Kirby's walking around talking to all of them, and we got a lot of good 7-on-7 stuff going on out there.
Absolutely.
And some of these kids won't be playing here, but you know, get a chance to go down to Sanford Stadium, work in the indoor building, and all that stuff. And then I think they only charge $20 for them to come in here, and it's just a great opportunity, because this is a state university. You know, hey, these kids get a chance. Maybe they might not come here as players, but come here as a union. You know, it's a good recruiting tool.
Yeah, and some of these kids, it would be a great opportunity for them to get some exposure and at the state public university. It seems like it'd be a good idea to let the press in to take some pictures of the damn thing.
Well, I know you keep bringing that up, but
it is a public university, and it's ridiculous that they keep the media out.
Well, we'll work on that for next year. Let's get some up. Hey,
I'm not going to cuss. But to your point, in the years past, we've seen some amazing 7-on-7 performances, and we've seen guys we've seen some bad ones, you know, and some guys
absolutely.
Come in and we're like, this kid's really good, this kid's really bad. But I like the idea of these kids. Remember, we go to the 7-on-7 tournaments, and they were always held out at the either the practice fields mm-hmm. or
the
intramural fields. Well, now they're doing them in the indoor stadium, the practice fields, and the stadium. And there's always the finals. You know,
and the IM fields. They're running them all. I mean, the whole campus is pretty much being utilized.
And I love the fact that, you know, these kids are actually getting into – and they did it with the youth camp the other day. They're down on Sanford Stadium field, you know. And I know that people say, well, why are you making a big deal out of that? If you're a football player and you know you're not going to be able to make it to the next level, like my son plays football, he's not going to turn into a
listen to the old man over
I'm just,
here.
No, he's probably a track.
Playing a winning team this year.
Well, yeah, they did. Well, he wouldn't be playing for Georgia. Let's just say that. Here would be his chance to get down on the field, run around, catch passes, you know, on Sanford Stadium. It's a big deal. You know,
absolutely.
Like they used to do the YMCA used to play before your games. Right. You know, they had the little kids run around there. It's a big deal. And some of these guys who you see as a 2022 guy, he's maybe 6'1", you know, or 6 foot. He's going to grow 2-3 inches the next year, and he turns out to be a pretty good wide receiver. He might remember that time, you know, that he was playing on the field at UGA and how much fun he had, you know, and that he got a kind word from James Coley and, you know, Kirby Smart, you know, clapped when his team won or something like that. You know, it's – you make a strong impression on these guys. The reason I say that, the last guy I remember who came to Georgia for one day, one visit, fell in love with the place and pretty much committed on the spot was some kid named Sony Michel.
Yeah, sure.
I just, you know, again, a visit, getting these kids on campus never hurts.
It changed fortunes a great deal for Isaiah Wilson two years ago. I mean, I remember talking to him right after that visit, and he said, oh, yeah, this puts them right up there for me now. Yeah. Go Dogs.
Moussa Smith, mm-hmm. one day. I was going to tell you this, though, about the camp that everybody needs. Here's 7-on-7, and you think about the receivers and quarterbacks and all. Hey, we got so many D-line and O-line guys out there today that took up the whole field over there, and they had about 7 or 8 stations, you know, with coaches helping, really good technique. But they had, you know, some elite guys at once. But they're doing pass rush, like you guys do in Five-Star Challenge, pass rush. They're doing technique work. They're going, you know, Cade May's younger brother was here, this Nestor kid from – from that you had to scoop on it yesterday. I'm glad.
Yeah,
I wouldn't
Doug
even
Nester.
Known that he was going to be here without you telling us. But the Nester kid we told you about from up in Huntington, West Virginia, along with Darnell Wright, who's not come here, but two kids in the same town. But the point is, evaluation, you can't beat that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what the guy looks like compared to what you have. And then you know, Coach McGee, Coach Coley. Coach Coley's walking around with these younger quarterbacks in the 9th and 10th grade talking, showing them around. And then Coach Chaney's getting ready for a workout. They're going to work out some of these better quarterbacks on the side there a little bit, you know, going through some of our drills. So it's kind of like a – I mean, it's kind of like a combine situation.
Oh, no doubt.
To your point, I don't know if Brock Vandergriff's out there, but we know that James Fombe is.
You
know,
Justin
Fombe, Central Gwinnett quarterback. Again, he's a 2019 guy, but to your point, Vandergriff is a, what, 2021?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So he's only going to be in the 10th grade.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. You got these guys out there who are going McLaughlin from
Buford.
He's out there.
Calzano coming Wednesday again. He's coming back tomorrow.
But
you told us about him last week. That's good.
Good call. Good call. But to the point of – We call it the 7-on-7, but I guess it was maybe 5-6 years ago. To go along with the 7-on-7, they have an O-line, D-line camp.
Right.
And we have seen a ton of fantastic offensive linemen, defensive linemen come through. We've also seen some come through that we said, wow, that kid's overrated, or that kid's not as good as he thinks he is, or why did he, you know. And we call it like we see it. We're like, hey, you know, here's what we think.
But here's
one of the guys I remember is Devontae Wyatt coming through that camp, you know, and the coaches were able to your point, they know who the kids are, and they work with the ones that have potential. They put them through a grind, and at first you're like, well, how much can these O-line, D-line guys do? You can only do the pass rush so many times, which is what I thought. No, you can do it a lot, and they grind them, then they split them out, and they do their they teach them what they did wrong, then they put them back to the grind, and by the end of the day, you know, these guys have maybe gone 60, 70 reps, are exhausted, but that's going to happen in a game. So you put
absolutely.
Them out there, and the coach was like, are you still taking coaching when you were tired? Are you still taking coaches when you've lost or won, you know? And I think that's not just from the, hey, wow, look, he's tall, he's fast, he's big. Did you listen to what I told you when we were in when we broke apart and we told you how to attack the D-line, when we went back over there and we went through those drills again, did you adjust? Did you change? Did you learn? And I think it's very important for those groups. I mean, I complained about the media being out there, but I think these days are invaluable, and the news is going to come out in the following weeks as guys leave here. Who's the guy that left? There's a defensive lineman that left with an offer last week.
Zion Logue.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing about it, too, that for the fans is you got a high school program that's working this summer, and they're going within the rules of the Georgia High School Association. They can go out and do stuff without pads on and all that, and then they can go play 7-on-7 against people. But they can come here for a 7-on-7 camp, but all of a sudden you just bring your skill guys. What are your linemen going to do? But now you can put them all on the bus, bring your linemen with your skill guys. They get a chance to see that, and you can see how they match up right now with the other teams comparable to ones you got. And these kids see a little bit of hey, I'm really kind of a big fish at my place, but I got to get in the weight room, do some more stuff, and get better. So it's all it's good. So this is a tremendous – I mean, I don't know how many they got out there, but they also had the youth camp where they have the kids under, you know, 10th grade to come, and they don't do quite as skill-specific as much, you know, but they just go out there and, you know, have a good time. But let's get some more questions.
Let me talk to the coaches who are in town for the 7-on-7. When you get a chance, swing out by Academia.
Oh, yeah.
So go out to Academia.
Put the kids in the hotel.
Yeah.
Take the offensive coordinator.
Yeah. Go by Academia. Thursday, if you guys are back Thursday, they have a new music. They have a lot. It's a new duo. It's called Malcolm and Sullivan. They're coming at 7, so live music on Thursday. A great beer is back on draft. Hoppadite. That's their IPA, the big juicy citrus bomb with low perceived bitterness. I tell you, if you like IPAs, Hoppadite should be their I know you get the IQ IPA.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, that Hoppadite is just – it's a fantastic beer.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not a huge IPA guy. I'll drink that all day long. I think the Hoppadite is maybe one of the best things they make. And Sunday is Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to you ahead of time, Coach. We had your son and grandson here. Great to meet them. If you want to, bring your dad out by after 12:30 to Academia, and he will get a complimentary Brewer's Choice pint to celebrate.
That's free beer.
Free beer. So free beer, just arrive in time, and they'll treat them to on Sunday. And they're also having a Sunday roast platter featuring an English-style roast beef with a chef's choice of vegetable sides, Yorkshire pudding, and beer-infused gravy.
All right. Very nice.
I didn't have any beer-infused gravy.
I'm just saying. So swing by Academia. And again, go by the Athens Banner-Herald and vote for them for the best new restaurant. Also vote for Champy's as best fried chicken place. Vote for Athens Ford to be your best car dealership.
And your pie.
We got a bunch of questions rolling in here. One from Kamel Oz here. He says, is this staff recruiting Warren Burrell, DJ Turner, the second, and Quentin Newsomhard? That's the North Gwinnett trio of defensive backs in the 2019 class. He says, too many top flight DBs are leaving the state. Andrew Booth, Joseph Charleston, Jalen McCullough, Xavier McKinney, Trey Dean, Miles Sims, Kenyatta Watson, Kyler McMichael, I'm sorry, A.J. Terrell, so on and so forth. I will say this. I think of that list you had, I think maybe three of those guys that Georgia was really hard after, and the rest of them, they said,
McKinney on that list.
Yeah, right, sure. But they said, you know, I mean, Trey Dean, it was a kid that I think they could have gotten if they had pursued. They just was not a priority. Miles Sims, same thing. They let him go to Michigan, and it was done. They did – sure, they wanted Kyler
McMichael. Would you take Webb? Would you take Speed? Would you take these guys?
Exactly.
That's part of the deal.
Exactly.
And he makes a good point, and you worry about guys like that. But you also got to remember that the first year, a new coach trying to keep a program together. The second year, people negative recruiting because he didn't win. Really establishing it now, I mean – you got a guy like Campbell coming in here, one of the top three corners in the country.
Yep.
So and I always had to face this. You always worry about guys in Georgia that you don't get because you can't take them all. But at the same time, you got to get a majority of them, and that's what we've been able to do for the most part. But he makes a point. Those are all valuable players around the country that could – and some of them have turned out even better than we thought, and maybe some of them hadn't. But it's an age-old problem here of who to take and who to turn down. And skill specific, like this year, we're losing some linemen to some people that probably last year we might have taken them. But this year we can only take three old linemen, wouldn't you say?
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
And so you're looking at – I mean, you're looking at some of these kids that I saw out there today that we're turning down. And not so much because of their ability, but because, you know, who we have here and who we're going after, it's a very high priority, so it's a tough deal. Some of these kids are really good players, or we're just not going to be able to take.
Well,
but some of the ones we're going after, they make my mouth water.
He mentions,
I mean, you're talking about eyeball tests. Yeah. I mean, get off the bus and
– you're in a unique situation.
You're talking about an NFL-type kid coming in here and going in here, could go play in the NFL early, and then, you know, I mean, look at Thomas and these guys. I mean, come on.
This I think that another point that needs to be made here is we talk about it some on the site. Georgia is a transient state. The city of Atlanta especially is a transient city. Kids move in from all over the place, and even the ones who don't, you know, they have a lot of experience outside of this, I guess, is what I mean to say. The guys that he pointed out here that you've largely lost, and I'm only counting a few of those, have been, I think, either to Alabama or to Clemson, which you're in a unique situation with how dominant both of those programs are
exactly.
Right now. So you're going to have some attrition to those programs as well.
Right.
It's just a necessary evil. So I think that they've got their targets lined out personally. I think that they've got some good names. If I were coming up with a couple to watch in the defensive backfield personally, Tyreek Stevenson is the guy that really jumps off the board to me right now. He keeps showing up in Athens. I think that they really like his game and what he brings to the table, and they should. Andrew Booth is on campus today.
Really?
Yeah, Andrew Booth's here today hanging out. So
really?
Now, I'm not saying I like their chances necessarily. I'm just saying that you got to get them back.
You got to get them to the dance.
That's
to
right.
Dance with
That's
them.
Right. Cortez Andrews, definitely a guy I'm watching out of Jacksonville. And then Jamie Robinson out of Crisp County is a guy that they're going to stay after as well.
So good job. So to what's his name's question? Sorry, I forgot. The guy that asked a question. Are those guys, are they Plan B guys that he's going after?
I don't think so.
Turner and guys like that? Are they recruiting them as hard as
the other? I think those – yes. Now, that group of guys, yeah, I think they are a little bit. But now, you know, with Burrell, listen, I think that you've got a great end with the kid. His mom works at the School of Social Work on campus at Georgia. Oh, wow. I mean, it's just a question of – how bad do they want him? And at this point, it doesn't seem like that's been that bad yet. It's just my take.
It kind of reminds me of the Jalen Humphrey situation.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, Jalen Humphrey commits to Florida, right? And was that last week?
It was.
Yeah. So, and everyone's like, oh, my God, how'd you let that guy go? I don't know that he was as high up on George's list as we may have thought. Mm-hmm. I mean, we as in people who are not inside the program thought. So, it's did you lose him or did you – are you going after someone else?
Exactly.
Now, a lot of this stuff we will never know the answer to because the kid's not going to tell you, hey, they didn't recruit me very hard, yeah. You know. And the coaches aren't going to say, well, he was, you know, eighth on our depth chart or our list of guys we wanted that position. They're not going to give hints as to who's on their chart. But, and you know me, I don't like to do this. I'm trust but verify. But I will say this, when it comes to recruiting, I got to give Kirby and company the benefit of the doubt on just about everybody they go after.
Yeah.
You know, because so far you haven't seen a whole lot of situations where they've had a swing and a miss, and they seem to get – they're getting more guys than they want. And some of the guys they've passed on, yeah, some of them do, as Coach said, turn out to be better than we thought. But a lot of them, you're like, okay.
But you knew
– I thought this guy was really good. He went over here, and he's not as good as we thought.
But you knew guys like Trey Bishop, Latavius Brenny, even to a degree, I would say William Poole. These were guys who needed a little bit of refining around the edges. Poole, I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Poole and Stokes, look what they're doing now. But I think the thing that gets all of us, and myself including, you get in the star situation, a 4- and 5-star, you think this guy can come in and play right away, and it's hard to do. I mean, it's just very difficult to play the first year. And then if they don't, then everybody starts saying, what's wrong with them and
all
that.
He's a bust. But you don't play the first year, you're a bust.
What we're able to do right now, though, is work our guys in on special teams and get them better and all. And, you know, I tell you what, Poole and Stokes have improved so much from last year to now. And a lot of that's coaching, and a lot of it's just kids maturing. But you can't teach a guy to run like Stokes.
I'm rooting for Eric Stokes simply because he's from Newton, you know, right outside of Conyers. So
kind of
a Rockdale County guy. So, yeah. You know.
Hey, way to be biased, sir.
I just tell you,
Rockdale repping County. For the homes.
Well, also, I mean, again, you know, and the kids just got a great story. You know, such a track thing, and we had it. Absolute track kid, wasn't given a lot of credit for his football skills, and I would love to see him be a success story. Also, William Poole, if I mentioned this to that Bulldog Club, said if you were to go to practice and watch Kirby Smart talk to Richard LeCount or William Poole, you would expect those guys to transfer within 24 hours.
Right.
The way Kirby yells at Richard LeCount and William Poole and just chews on them, and you're like, man, that kid's got to be hating the fact that he came here. But I think if you're over in the secondary and Kirby Smart's not yelling at you, you almost want to, like, go kick him in the leg because you want to get his attention. Kirby only yells at the ones from whom he is expecting big things.
Absolutely.
He's yelling at them because he wants them in position. They're not in position fast enough, or they're not doing something that he wants exactly. If you were getting Kirby's attention, that means you were going to play. So a lot of people who – you know, we had William Poole at one point as a 5-star, then he dropped to a 4-star, and you know, he's still in that conversation.
Yeah, he just floated.
And people go, well, he's just a little too small. No. If Kirby Smart is yelling at William Poole as much as we saw, expect big things from William Poole.
But remember in the spring, everybody was kind of forgetting about him.
I forgot about him.
And we brought it up.
You did. And again, I was taking all that yelling as, man, William Poole is just – he's not – He doesn't stand much of a chance.
He's just out there for 10 minutes. But then
we saw, and you brought it in and talked to some other people, and they're like, no, William's starting here. I'm like, so all that yelling, that's good.
Yeah,
that's good attention. That's not the. But in years past, when we saw Todd Grantham yell at someone, Jeremy Pruitt yell at a defensive back, you know, or Scott Lakatos yell at a defensive back, that was a defensive back that didn't stay around very
Jeremy
long.
Jeremy Pruitt yelling at a defensive back hurt my heart sometimes. I was like, oh, man, come on now, coach.
That's a human being. He has a spark of divinity in him. He's a human being.
Some rapid fire
Brian
questions
Murphy
here. We got 13 minutes. Let's see if we can answer
Brian Murphy
questions.
With a very good question, especially off the tail end of the loss of Joseph. We've talked about the situation with Bishop, obviously. Gibbs still up in the air. Does Georgia have a depth issue in the secondary right now?
Yes.
I think from a standpoint of experience, for sure, but talent-wise, being able to run, being extremely well-coached, being prepared, I think we're going to be okay there, really do. We probably are not two or three deep like we'd like to be, but I think certainly the first group we're going to put out there, particularly if Webb is ready to go, you know, I think that's going to really help because, you know, if I have that kind of injury, you got to think he just will be ready. But we're not two or three deep like you'd like to be, and it hurts you a little bit on special teams. But we do have a lot of receivers and running backs that can do some of that too.
Absolutely.
Now. So, you know, it's just not a perfect situation as far as having them stacked up like club sandwiches. But we got plenty of players. And I think some of them are going to come on good. I really like the way Speed developed in the spring. I like the cover skills that Webb has. And certainly Baker is an elite player in this league.
Yep.
For him to
yep.
come back. Now, if he would have gone on and declared, that would put us in a more difficult situation. But and you got Reed that knows what he's doing. LeCount's really doing well. You know, we'll be okay there.
Absolutely. I'm with you. And speaking, though, of running backs doing a lot, Jarvis Hanna with a question here. He says, can James Cook be that Tavon Austin-type player in the Georgia offense this season where he plays a little bit of wide receiver, a little bit of running back, just kind of finds himself in a lot of spots all over the offense? I think that's possible.
What is an adjective, something that magnifies something that ends in L-Y? Absolutely. Hey, he's going to be that. I mean, he's got a skill set that, you know, you just don't find that can do so many things with and without the ball. And he's such a threat to take it to the house. And, you know, he's got a skill set that we can certainly use a lot like we did with Swift last year, like we did with Sony. And we've got a system in place here now that – you can always adapt to who's on the field. I mean, with Chaney, it's kind of a buffet-type situation. You a little bit of salad, a little bit of meat. You got all this stuff around there, and just, you know, you're going to use – I like the 12 personnel. I like the two tights that we got right now,
yes.
Where you can JoJo a guy, where you can have an H-back. And then, you know, you can go three wides. We're deep enough there, and we saw what Hardman can do. We know what we got with a really good player like coming in. You know, we got to think Bush can maybe come over and play that X side one-on-one because he's so tall. So, but Terry Godwin, I think he's going to have a breakout year.
You mentioned Jim Chaney in the buffet. I think he knows his way around one of those.
I didn't mean that about
that. That's so rude, Coach. So
I'm just saying he has a buffet type.
You are rude.
He has a buffet type.
He knows how to make it work. Coach knows how to play the game.
We apologize for Coach Dunham's rudeness.
No, I was talking about it. He's got a lot of different things. But, you know, certainly.
Yeah, you're right.
He's a svelte coach.
Yeah, man, well, you mentioned club sandwiches. I'm going to give a shout-out to Your Pie. When you get a chance, go buy Your Pie. And get one of those sandwiches. I know they have those pizzas, you know, completely customizable pizzas you'll get in about 7 minutes. It'll cost you like $7. But go by and try their sandwiches, especially the No Nose Italian. That's a fantastic one. Swing by Your Pie when you get a chance. I want to jump back on that question real quick about James Cook.
Yeah.
To me, James Cook has the potential to be Mecole Hardman without spending a year at cornerback. He can do the stuff that Mecole Hardman can do.
Yes.
Because Mecole could run the ball. I mean, you line him up in the backfield, you know. But
I don't know that he's quite that fast. Mecole's freak fast.
I know. I'm just saying
but
that
he is. But yes.
But for the multiple roles,
with the agility, with
right.
the, yeah, absolutely.
Line him up a wide receiver. Line him up straight in the backfield. Here, sure. Run between the tackles. Run outside the tackles. We're gonna throw it to you. I think he'll come in with that ability to make plays out of the backfield or you know off the line, multiple spots. without having spent a year at cornerback. He's going to come in, and they're going to start looking to put him in that role that Mecole is doing now, that Swift, like you said, Swift did last year. I mean, somebody has to replace Swift, because Swift's going to move over to replace, you know,
Sony.
So who do you want in that role? To me, that guy would be great for it.
That's true, but devil's advocate, you could put White back there and keep Swift there too.
So. You're right.
True.
You're right.
It's going
to
be
– to me, White's coming in to replace Chubb.
Right. You know, it's a good problem to have.
We got him. We got plenty of players back. We
again, 45 points a game. That's my prediction.
Dylan Brooks
schedule doesn't hurt on that either.
No, it doesn't. Not at all.
Dylan Brooks with a good one here. He says, "Do you think Trey Hill is the long-term replacement for Lamont Galliard at center after this year, or does he end up staying at guard?"
Guard.
I think he's in. I think
a lot of it has to do with how good Salyer is. You know, if Salyer is a premier guard, then you maybe look at Hill over there some. But, you know, Erickson looks good at center.
My pick.
We got a good situation. I tell you what, Salyer right now has come in here with a tremendous attitude. He's working extra, trying to, you know, he's a big kid, but he got to understand how to get that body. We saw how Hill redirected his body weight and what he did. So Salyer's having to do a little bit of that because it's different. You know, you're going against better players, but – directly from some of the coaches out there, what an attitude he's got. He's a hard worker and great player.
Well, I mean, he's I don't want to say he's Andrew Thomas's protege, but he's from that same school.
They're from the same tree.
I mean, Trey Blunt, same way. Trey came in working his tail off, Trey, let's keep an eye on him this year. That might also be a breakout player.
And I'll tell you we talked about. I talked about this prior to him coming in. If Georgia does end up feeling that they have a depth issue in the secondary, he is a guy
that could
transition over there.
But I tell you one thing that I always like. If a guy comes over there and does extra work unsolicited, it's my type of player.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of guys that do that aren't very good. They're trying to get better.
Sure.
But when the really good players do that and just the guy I was talking about a little bit earlier, I think he might be doing some of that.
Nice. I'm very impressed.
We've got a couple more here. A couple questions rolling in about Tresman Marshall. Ab Hardick says, is Georgia slow playing Tresman? And Mike Goodwin says, what are you hearing about Marshall flipping to FSU? I know that that's I know that he's a kid who who could I compare him to? He's a little bit like Rambo Hunter, I think. He's going on these visits, and it seems like every one he goes on, at the end of it, he's like, that was the best visit I've ever been on. That was really good. And I don't think that he's being wishy-washy. I think that he is really enjoying himself and having a great time. I think for right now, Marshall is your guy. I don't think that there's any indication that Papo is going to do anything in the immediate, so you're going to have to continue to work that. N'Kobe Dean is a guy they're going to stay on. Ryan Davis at that inside linebacker spot. But Tresman is a thumper. He's a great athlete, and he's a kid who fits in well with what they want to do. So I don't see them.
How do you compare him to Bertrand?
He's a little bit thicker than Bertrand, and I think he's probably a little bit more violent on the field.
I like violent.
He's very violent. Now, but here's the thing: when Marshall committed,
he said,
"I'm going to take a lot of visits."
He said, "If I go somewhere and I find that it's a better fit for me, then I have to go there." That's just it. I mean, he was not giving you any false impressions of, "I'm 100%, I'm all in." I mean, it's not. You've got Dominic Blaylocks, and then you've got this, and that. There's middle ground in between both of those styles too. But he's a kid that until proven otherwise, I don't really worry about him, honestly. Yeah. At least not in the immediate.
I like that.
It's the same way with Jaden.
Well, here's the thing. If you get a chance, we never talk about where we were. If you get swing by UGASports.com and sign up for a membership, it's 27 cents a day, $99 for the year. We had an update yesterday on Ryan Davis, which is a good read. One of our guys caught up with him in Atlanta. He talked about the places he had been. And then Chad Simmons came on and put out three linebacker updates, insider stuff that you won't find anywhere else. One was about N'Kobe Dean, right?
Mm-hmm.
One was about Tresman Marshall.
One was about Owen Papo.
One was about Owen Papo. Again, for 27 cents, you're getting stuff you can't find anywhere else. And then, of course, we also had another list of insider recruiting notes by Trent Smallwood, who's about to go on vacation for a week or so. Trent had a ton of notes on there. Now, some of it was good news for Georgia. Some of it was bad news for Georgia. But that's what we have at UGASports.com. So you get a chance to swing by there. And shout out to Athens Ford for sponsoring us.
Real quick, Ab Harding says, "Is CJ Clark Georgia bound?" I think he better be. I think that that's a big. Yeah. I think that's a big.
We don't know if he is, but we know he better
be. Committing when? When's that?
Very soon. In short order.
Kid from North Carolina.
Yeah,
right?
And I think that Georgia should be the team to beat. He's got a great relationship with Trey Scott, so that would be my.
Trey
pick.
Scott needs him.
I agree.
I mean, I know. I'm saying, you know, Georgia needs him because it's definitely a position of need. You know, position Georgia's thin at. But Trey Scott needs some wins on the recruiting trail.
I agree.
I agree. I'm not taking a shot at him. I'm just saying that
June 18th he's committed.
That's that'll be
June 18th.
Yep. Six days.
So you're gonna be up there?
I'm on vacation.
No,
Big Pal.
No, they get vacation.
Are you not gonna be here for this season?
I'm not. I will not be here for this either.
Well,
I will be.
Good show.
I'll be out of here next week. Yeah. So make sure to ask Roddy
where
all the recruiting
going?
Questions.
To Denver
get
again?
Get real in depth. No, we're going to Maine. Actually, I'm going up with my mom and
that's
my
nice.
Family.
Get some lobster up there, man.
Oh, definitely.
Get a lobster roll for lunch and then big lobster for dinner.
But test Roddy's knowledge on recruiting next
yeah,
week.
Roddy's
have
good.
Fun. He is good. He's good. He's
not like I know all this stuff. Who taught you all this stuff?
But you really are the master. We got all one right. last question here.
One last question. Ab Harding, he says.
Ab, he keeps some.
Ab's got some good ones today. He says, what are we going to do at quarterback this season? What are we going to do at quarterback in this recruiting class? Obviously, Joey Yellen was a guy that they were looking at, just committed to Arizona State. I think the guy to really look at right now is John Plumlee. I think that he's a guy that's going to be in the mix for that.
Is that
going
the guy
forward.
From Mississippi?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a and the cool thing about him, I think, is that he's a very versatile athlete. He can do a number of things. So let's say it doesn't work out at quarterback. Auburn likes him at Auburn likes him at defensive back. Ole Miss likes him at slot receiver. I mean, he's got a number of options there. So he's a
yeah. We got to look at this though. Hey. How about Calzado? He looks pretty good, doesn't he?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely.
He's coming back tomorrow. You know, hey, we got to build a relationship with him. And just like last week, we talked about him. Understand? You know, I was just listening over there about who they had coming in, and I know that. You had some, but I know Calzado's going to be here tomorrow.
No, I think didn't we talk about that last week, right?
Yeah.
Calzado's coming back this week. So.
A little breaking news here. Nolan Smith just named a 5-star on Rivals.com.
Get him on up there, man. He's a player for
deserving.
Us.
Completely deserving.
So, what, we got 3 5-stars committed?
That would be, I think, just the two. I think you just got two right now. Yes, Hazelwood.
Most people would kill
Hazelwood
for two.
And Smith. Hazelwood and Smith, Blaylock hanging right there in the area, and then Tresman Marshall. I mean, your star average is still the highest of anyone.
I think the problem for Tresman Marshall is because he's an athlete
right.
and he's running back and a linebacker. If he kind of focused on just one, then you know you'd see him project that way. But to me, it happens a lot with athletes. It's tough to say. This guy's going to be a first-round pick or is going to be that high because you're not quite sure what school, what they're going to do with him.
Sure.
But, I mean, the guy has that potential. And I also think Dominic Blaylock.
For sure.
I think his senior film could get him up there. And I'm sure he's been invited to all the All-American games, but I don't know that he'll even do them.
Well, he lit it up over here at camp last week. He lit it up.
You'll get to see him on Friday.
No.
So.
Yeah, I'm just saying that. But I'm
when is
about,
the 5-star now?
Ranking.
You're trying to work it out where the old coach can go over there one day?
Yeah, absolutely.
Give me
man.
Some credentials.
27.
They turned me down over there in the dome.
The 27th and 28th of this
come
month.
Come on, man. Let me in.
So,
no credentials.
On June 27th, all the kids are arriving. We will have exclusive updates from.
I want some gear.
They don't make it your size, coach.
Really?
Adidas, come on. They make tons of it. So they'll.
I'm going Uniglobe like Roger Federer. Can you believe he's turning down Nike for $22 million?
That's what I mean.
You going Uniglobe?
What are they paying?
$22
million. Oh well, okay. I can roll with that.
You can pay me $22 and I'll wear what you want me to wear. So on the 27th of this month, we will have updates that you won't get anywhere else. And then on the 28th, we'll have the 5-star challenge where we'll have the best players in the nation going head to head. So be sure to. Tune in that week. We're going to have a lot coming. That's going to be the following
So
week.
How long are you going to be gone, man?
Bruce?
Week?
Yeah, we give him 1 week of vacation, and he has to work through the vacation and have 27 stories in the admin before he leaves. That's how you get a vacation at UGASports.com. Anyway,
so are we back on next week then? Hey, right. Okay.
Absolutely.
All right, let's put it on.
We got nothing else to do this summer. anyway, tune in next Tuesday at 12, and we will have a lot more to talk about. And until then, for Jake Roos, Jim Donna, and myself, thanks for watching.
Say good night, Gracie.
Good night, Gracie.
That's it for this episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. Tune in next week for more Georgia Bulldogs news and notes from Athens.